How can you blame a nigga? I swear that money, it change a nigga. When I got money, it changed some niggas. I bust on that rollie, my chain got bigger. I lost my little homie, it changed a nigga. I keep a Glock 41, change my nigga. But now I got money, put change on niggas. They call me OG, my niggas kill you for free, but I'ma still pay them niggas. Free CVD, fuck the judge, the police, they tryna hang a nigga. Been sipping codeine, and I just might die in my sleep, so I go to bed with the stainless nigga. How can you blame a nigga? I swear that money, it change a nigga. When I got money, it changed some niggas. I bust on that rollie, my chain got bigger. I lost my little homie, it changed a nigga. I keep a Glock 41, change my nigga. But now I got money, put change on niggas. How can you blame a nigga? What I made to the top on the Lord, dogs growing up in the swap, make my heart cold. Had to work out the pot like gumbo. Had to stand on the block like my tumbo. Had to jack me a box like Jumbo. Hit him quarterback blitz like Rumbo. Hit him with the hit stick, make him fumble. Went to 10-18 for Woodrow, 121 for Bantho. R.I.P. to my nigga Slow Groove. Rest in peace to my nigga Young Deuce. Lost my little homie Gold, seeing Kenny Lou. Now my heart gone like John Q. Paper chasing for the revenue. Trying to flip a pack just like.
Alright, alright. WWFLIP, when we feel like it, part. Podcast where we broadcast when the fuck we feel like it. Sean right back in the building, and that song right there is Maxo Cream, and that song is called Change. That's his new project, check it out. And I guess I'll start with my last episode. It was very important for me to get that episode out there to the streets because that was a good majority of my childhood, and it was a very defining moment in terms of carving my personality and, you know, how I came up and how I came to be the person that I am today, all that type shit. Shout out to my guests for not being shit. Appreciate that. And typically, I don't try to push people to come on the show. I really don't give a fuck because I know I stay out the way, so I never really push it to try to get people to come on or not. But this motherfucker here, he put me through so much bullshit that I wasn't taking no for an answer. Pause. It wasn't no fucking choice. Had to. I wasn't having that shit. And that was only like 10% of the shit that was really going on in the neighborhood. Like, the shit was fucking outrageous. And I think that's going to be like a weekly, not a weekly series, but I'm going to just continue to bring people on the show that get on my damn nerves. I don't know why I'm punishing myself, but it is what it is. I got a couple other guests lined up that piss me off. So we'll see how this shit works out. Should be pretty funny, as I feel like that episode was a classic. It was very funny, very telling. And yeah, he cried on my couch. I'm not going to lie to you. I told him it was a safe place. Just don't get no tears on my suede. That's all I ask. Don't you do it. Don't you motherfucking do it. But outside of that, yeah, get your crown on, man. Get it out. You could tell he was still holding on to a couple things. He's trying to act like we was blackballing him and shit. Like, nah, champ, chill out. But yeah, you're probably going to hear from him again at some point. It only took me, what, a year to get him on the fucking show? That's how you know people ain't shit. But it's all good. And right now, I guess I'll talk about Zion Williamson. If you don't know, he's a little high school. Well, he was a high school phenom. Big as hell. He was built like LeBron in high school. Really, when I say built like LeBron, I mean he was built like current LeBron in high school. Not high school LeBron. He was way bigger than high school LeBron. Then, you know, he went off to Duke and now the NBA, New Orleans Pelicans. And he now just signed a sneaker endorsement to Jordan Brand. And a lot of people are questioning his motives and his moves because he took less money playing with Jordan Brand. Or excuse me, signing with Jordan Brand. But I'm not really mad at it. Personally, I don't think Jordan Brand really fits him. But at the same time, you are going to get the most marketing and promotion under Jordan Brand. And it will propel you to make more money in the future. Whether or not they give you the direct money or not. That's what people don't understand. He stands to make more money on Jordan Brand, aka Nike, than he does with somebody like New Balance or Under Armour or Puma. I feel like Li Ning, which is a Chinese brand, and I want to say Puma maybe, offered him the biggest money. Or maybe even Nike. Nike saw those offers and they were going to offer him more. But I know Nike and Jordan, Nike owns Jordan, but they're still two different companies, essentially. Jordan is kind of like a sister company, I would say. Or what? How the fuck you know what the fuck going on. But anyway, he went with Jordan Brand. Cause I think Nike was going to offer him damn near $20 million a year. But either way, none of that's really important to the point I'm making. The point I'm making is, he went with Jordan Brand, and like I say again, through the way they're going to make him look, he probably stands to make more money. They're going to put him in bigger situations, even though it's less money up front. Because if I remember correctly, I think Adidas offered LeBron. No, they didn't offer him more money. Never mind. And you also have to understand, after LeBron did his thing, he ended up getting a fucking lifetime billion-dollar contract with Nike. So that still could happen at any time for Zion, too, with Jordan Brand, a.k.a. Nike. A lot of people just see the upfront money and think it's always the better decision, but that's not always the case. That upfront money can run out a lot faster than long-term money. People never look into the future. People just see right now. So people think he's stupid for taking less money, for leaving money on the table, so to speak. But again, the marketing and promotion behind Jordan Brand is on a much higher level than any other company could offer. No other company is going to put him in that prime real estate like Nike and Jordan will. That's what people have to understand. You're talking about companies, Nike and Jordan, who spend hundreds of millions of dollars in marketing and research alone. Just marketing and research. So yes, that money and that visibility will come back to him. My only problem is his signature shoe is going to be complete garbage. Complete 100% garbage. Because Jordan Brand has never shown any athlete signed to Jordan Brand any love in terms of aesthetically pleasing shoes. No other athlete on Jordan Brand has ever had a nice looking shoe outside of Jordan. That's my only problem with it. He's never gonna come from under the shadow of Jordan. That's a hell of a shadow. But outside of that, I feel like he made a pretty good decision because, again, that's going to set him up in the future real big if he does pan out on the court, though, which I think he will. He is incredibly strong, incredibly talented. He going to show up. I've seen him. I was watching him early on. I already knew what time it was with him. And piggybacking off of that topic, a lot of people probably don't know this, but the NBA changed the wording of ownership. NBA owners are no longer called owners anymore. They are now called governors, which means absolutely fucking nothing. You're still an owner. That's why it's very important to understand what words mean. They're changing the word just because it sounds more slavery-esque, because it fucking is. People have to understand that these NBA owners, most of them own hundreds of other companies and they're all billionaires, and their profits don't really come from the NBA. The NBA is probably their least profitable company that they own, and they still make hundreds of millions from the NBA, but it's probably their least profitable company that they own. While on the other hand, the NBA is the most profitable thing for the players. So you have to understand that these NBA owners are really fucking playing real life fantasy basketball with real life players. That's all they're fucking doing. They just own the team for visibility and to move chess pieces around and shit. They're playing real life fantasy football and basketball. I don't know. I don't think anybody's ever thought about it that way before, but that's the way I see it. These owners are playing fucking fantasy basketball with real life pieces. Shit's crazy. Motherfuckers like, Blake Griffin? Yeah, I think I'm going to move him. Yeah, I want to see him over there in Detroit. Fuck it. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I'm just going to move him. Fuck it. See how that turns out. Like, motherfuckers is playing real life fucking Monopoly with real people and shit. That's how crazy this shit is. NBA owners, aka governors, whatever the fuck that means. Just like on your car has a governor. And your car could only go whatever that governor is set to. So just keep that in mind. It's the NBA for you. Really sports in general. But you know, I'm using NBA as the reference. But it applies to all sports and pretty much all companies and all this type of shit. It's all the same shit. But yes, they're playing fucking real life fantasy sports with real life players. And don't really give a fuck about where you land and what it means to you. They don't give a fuck. Also, my last guest, Tony, mentioned how I was real big on Jordan as a kid and shit, which I've always mentioned back in the day too. Well, on earlier episodes I mentioned too. People have to understand, I studied Jordan, his game winning shots and shit. I turned that into my entire life, his game winning shot philosophy. Like, he would hit a game winning shot and not celebrate. He wouldn't do anything crazy after he hit a crazy ass shot. And I kind of adopted that into my entire life, to where I showed no emotion to anything that I did, to where if I did something, it was supposed to happen. Like, why the fuck would I celebrate or show crazy emotion about something that I did? If I did it, that shit was on purpose. The fuck would I celebrate for? So in basketball, if I hit a crazy layup or a crazy shot, you wouldn't see no crazy emotion from me because, again, that shit was supposed to happen if I shot it. It was supposed to go in. Like, that's why I shot that bitch. What do you want from me? And that's my fucking outlook on life, period. If I do something, that shit was meant to happen. Shit was meant to be. There's no surprise or celebration from it. If I did it, that's what it is. So yeah, it was deeper than fucking worshiping a fucking grown man and all this type of shit. It wasn't really that. Like, people from the outside saw it as, I wasn't fucking obsessed. I was just obsessed with bettering myself. And I was using Jordan as a model to better myself. That's all it really was. So for people who are listening and you look up to people or you had idols or whatever the case may be, you gotta take the good shit and, you know, apply it to your life, or turn something that you admire into some shit that you can use in your own life. That's all it really is. That's all it's all about, man. I wasn't out here fucking just being an asshole, just collecting shoes and, you know, thinking I'm Jordan and all this type of shit. I never thought I was Jordan. I never even played like Jordan, really, if you think about it. I played more like Iverson. But that's a whole nother story. It's not even important. And sticking to the whole sports theme right now, I watched this documentary last night called The Jack of All Trades. It's about the rise and the collapse and the fucking family impact of trading cards. And that shit was a fucking great documentary. That shit brought back a lot of memories. And it shows how dirty the game is, which is pretty much what I was saying about cereal. And I'll tell you why in a second. What it showcased in the documentary is, and which what I was noticing when I was younger as well, is that the market was like a big ass bubble. Because what would happen is some of these cards would become very valuable. So these companies who were making the cards realized the value of the cards. So they just kept producing them shits to the point where they were just creating whole sheets of cards that were worth $100 a piece. So now you're literally printing money. Now you're printing a sheet of basketball or baseball cards. And each picture on each sheet is worth $100. So now you're just inflating the market. So now, even though this shit is worth $100, you have now produced 1 million of this one card. So now, of course, that bubble pops. And now these cards ain't worth shit. Every now and then, you could probably sell some shit on eBay or, you know, like a little trade show or some shit and get some money back. But you're never going to get the full value of all the time and money spent and trying to chase these cards and trade them and all that type of shit. So if you're wondering why you have all these cards in your closet, basement, attic, or wherever, and you start looking up the value of these cards and you see that they're not really worth anything, it's because they kept producing that card after it was worth something. And then the fucking value just bottomed out. And also, as you grow older, you realize that you don't need none of this shit. That also plays a part as well. And the fact that, you know, the youngins ain't really looking for this type of shit either. And some people feel like Bitcoin and, you know, cryptocurrency and all that type of shit could be the same type of setup as fucking trading cards and all that shit. But they have a little bit more real world value to them, though. You know, they're tied in with technology and shit like that in real world transactions. So it's a little bit more solid. But I can understand the mindset as to why you would think it would have no value. But one thing I will say that is the same is more like sneakers. Sneakers did the same thing to her. You know, they might say only 5,000 pairs of this shoe is made, but you see everybody on Instagram wearing them. You see everybody at the mall wearing them. Every time you go to the movies or out to eat, you see somebody wearing them. It's because they kept producing that shoe, or they already produced the shoe, but they faked the value and they faked the numbers of it and act like it was less numbers made and it was more rare. But in reality, they made fucking hundreds of thousands of pairs of the same shoe and the fucking market flattens out. But now all these shoes come out every week. So, you know, it's a constant flood and a constant lottery of horseshit. You know, they selling get rich quick dreams to little kids. The same shit I was saying about cereal. They was pushing this shit to children at an early age and making you feel like you need this shit. And you really didn't. There's no real nutritional value in the cereal for the most part. I don't care what kind of cereal you eat. There's no real value in it. You could eat an entire box of cereal in one sitting and not feel full and still eat a full meal after that. Because there's no nutritional value in the shit. The same thing with trading cards. The same thing with sneakers, clothes, all this type of shit. Really, there's no real value to it. So all this shit was pretty much a lie. And it's crazy because, you know, you look back, you see trading cards and shit, and you realize that, you know, grown men were selling fucking baseball cards to little boys and shit. Which is why I reverted back to cereal and all that and how I related it to drugs and all that. Because, you know, they were basically selling drugs to minors with baseball cards and all that type of shit, getting you to buy in at an early age. Because if you notice, pretty much everything that's being sold, whether it be cell phones and all this type of shit, is marketed towards children. I'd be tired of y'all grown ass motherfuckers talking about, man, my daughter's so smart, man. She know how to grab my phone and move the apps and blah, 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 blah. Motherfucker, shut up. Your fucking kid is not smart for knowing how to operate a phone. They made it to where your kid can operate the fucking phone. That shit is on purpose. That shit is not an accident or a fucking coincidence that your child knows how to operate a phone. All you have to do is fucking swipe left and right. There's no genius shit behind that. Anybody can swipe left and right. Are you fucking kidding me? There's no fucking thought process in swiping left and right and swiping up and down and shit. Get a hold of yourself. Your child is not a genius. And with this said, I'm not trying to disparage your children, but I'm saying you're placing value in some shit that was made to be that way. It was meant to be easy for children to operate a cell phone. Stop it. But yeah, man, if you into that type of nostalgia type shit, I would recommend that documentary. It was damn near hard for me to watch, even though I knew all this shit already. Because I was like, damn. Because, you know, you don't want to ever feel like you got. But I was never into it to have fucking millions of dollars of fucking cards and shit. I was never selling my cards and shit. As a matter of fact, I still have my shit to this day. And I wasn't holding it to keep it valuable or anything. I was just holding it because I like the way a lot of the shit looked. You know, again, I was a creative type of person. I like a lot of shit for the art style of it. If something looks appealing to me and I fuck with it, I just want it around, really. I want to showcase it. It was never really to sell. Although that was a cool little draw too. It always feels good when you have something and it's worth something and you could like hold it up and be like, you know, this shit right here is worth X amount of money. Same thing with shoes I had and shit. I wasn't buying shoes to sell them later, but I had shoes that end up being worth fucking $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, this type of shit. And I sold a few of them actually now, of course, because, you know, more so for space and all that type of shit. It got to the point where I literally couldn't even walk in my closet, to the point where I was wearing the same fucking clothes every single day because I didn't want to fucking move all these boxes to get to my other clothes. It was just getting real bad to where I had nowhere to move and shit. My entire closet and, you know, my old closet at my parents' house and all this other shit, I literally had like two or three closets filled with nothing but fucking shoes. And it was just getting ridiculous. And of course, I recognized it. Then I had to correct it, man. I had to fucking get a hold of myself. That was my serial. That was my fucking so-called, you know, drug addiction or whatever. And, you know, like, I like to collect shit, too. It's more so, you know, collecting nice things. Because I'm like that with clothes, shoes, fucking artwork, video games. Pretty much anything you could think of that, you know, I just enjoy fucking with. I like to collect it. So I like to try to keep that in check. Every now and then I have a little backslides, but you know it's all good. But yeah, once again, probably check that out, see what's going on with it. If you ever fucked with cards and all that type of shit from back in the day. I know a lot of you motherfuckers probably got Pokemon cards or some goofy shit. So again, that shit is called Jack of All Trades. It's on Netflix now. And it's pretty interesting because the dude's father pretty much set the market for how the card industry went and shit. He was like a pioneer of it. But you know, I won't give everything away. I'll let, you know, people who are interested watch it for themselves and get what they get out of it. But it's a nice watch though. I fuck with it. And going back to my last guess also, kind of tying back into the value and all this type of shit. Like my last guess was so fixated on trying to fit in and trying to have this and have that, but he never sat down and focused on what he had and what type of value he brought to the game. See, I understood that at an early age. For instance, my friends across the street, they had a Super Nintendo and they had all the games for that. But I didn't try to fit in with them and try to one up them and get the same fucking system and get all the same games and show them that I can keep up with them. No, what I did is I went and got the Sega Genesis. So now we got a Sega Genesis and a Super Nintendo. And we now could play all the games on both systems. That's the way I played it. I wasn't trying to keep up with nobody and all this other shit. You got to understand where you fit in and understand your role. Also, when we was talking about basketball and all that stuff, the reason why nobody could really stop us on my street, why they couldn't beat us, is because we all understood our roles on the court when we played. Because you have to understand your value. You have to understand what you bring to the table. I was the aggressive one. I'm always driving to the basket, kicking that bitch out, you know, riling everybody up, getting my teammates into the game and shit, passing that bitch off and all that type of shit. My other friend who I always hooped with, he was taller. You know, he under the basket, snagging rebounds, blah, 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 all that type of shit. Or I'm driving to the basket, kick it out to my other friend. He like a 3-point specialist, motherfucker. Set shot is out of this world. He catch that bitch and shoot it. It's cash every time. And he had a real jump shot. He jumping off the ground for real. He jumping 2-3 feet in the air on a jump shot. Even if you jump, you're not blocking that shit. And it's going in. So it's like he was unstoppable with the shot. So we all understood our roles. And that's why we couldn't be beaten. Motherfuckers used to fight each other playing against us. But you know, I'm just breaking shit down for the streets to understand it and where I'm coming from. This is not me bragging about myself and all this type of shit. So yes, you have to focus on what you have, because nobody else gives a fuck about you. You have to understand that early. Like, he was looking for validation from us and shit. But again, nobody gives a fuck what you got going on. Nobody gives a fuck. The quicker you understand that, the better off you will feel and the better off you will be when you realize that nobody give a fuck what you got going on. A lot of people don't understand that. Nobody gives a fuck about your children but you. Nobody gives a fuck what your kids got going on. You got to go hard for them, and that's that. Now we got all these fucking, I'm about to say school shootings, but fucking mass shootings and shit. They just jumping off left and right. But I guess there's not much to say about it, but, you know, just be careful. A lot of people try not to watch the videos and all this other shit, which is cool to a certain extent, but I feel like it's a lot of naive people out there that think that it can't happen to them. I only look at certain situations to, you know, try to see if I can navigate my way out the situation or find like preventative measures and all this type of shit. Maybe fucking red flags that I might be able to catch, because you only have a fucking split second to react to this shit and it's a wrap for you. So if I can help find that split second, I'm gonna try to, you know, exploit that shit. I'm gonna be prepared as much as I can, if at all possible. But you know, you're talking about situations that, you know, are out of your control, of course. But acting like this shit is not happening, it's not gonna save your life, though. I'm not saying fucking watch this shit for hours, and but you know, read up on what's going on, though. Because so-called not feeding into negative energy is not gonna stop that negative energy from coming your way. So just please understand that. Also, I'm seeing that fucking, I was just listening to the Talker Brothers podcast. They had Crystal Clear on there and Carmen. Shout out to all y'all. I fuck with everybody. All three parties involved. But it's crazy because I didn't know women were so outraged behind this whole black men don't cheat movement and shit. And I just wanted to give a little brief history on it. I mean, the earliest I saw the black men don't cheat shit was actually from over like about 3 years ago. ADD, All Dev Digital, did a skit called Black Men Don't Cheat. And also there was a comedian named Carlos Miller who feels like he created the term Black Men Don't Cheat and a hashtag and all that shit. But again, the earliest I seen it was 3 years ago. This was before I ever heard him say it. But you know, I don't have Twitter and Instagram and all that shit, really. So I can't really vouch for it completely. But I do feel like the All Dev Digital skit was the first I've ever seen of it. It was called Black Men Don't Cheat. You can look it up. It's still on YouTube to this day. But I didn't know people were outraged behind it. It was always under the guise of a joke. It was never some serious shit. It's not a real movement and all that type of shit. But I understand black women who've been cheated on from black men feel a type of way about it. I understand that. But just from the guise of comedy, which is the lens I look at it through, I fight for the, you know, freedom of speech of comedy, because I would never want somebody to censor what I'm saying if I'm trying to just tell a joke. But they definitely had a heated debate. Yeah, I caught that shit. That shit was crazy. But people also have to understand that every man is not bad who cheats, though. And before y'all jump down on my neck and all that, hear me out. The number one man go-to for black men is probably fucking Martin Luther King. As a lot of y'all already know, Martin Luther King is known for being unfaithful to his wife, Coretta. And you have to understand that Martin Luther King had a dream. He just didn't tell Coretta it was a wet dream. You can't blame him for that. He was still out here protecting the community. A lot of great men have succumbed to temptation of women. And y'all also can't act like Charlamagne and Lil Duval created this shit. They a lot of times they be the last ones to the party. They be piggybacking off a lot of shit. I tell you that. So don't think that that fucking Charlamagne is speaking for black men or fucking Lil Duval. Lil Duval is also a comedian. Charlamagne is a comedian too. He just don't want to take that title because he doesn't want to have that pressure of having to be funny. But really the motherfucker's a comedian. A fucking shock jock on some Howard Stern type shit. So I understand women being mad about it. And of course, you're more than entitled to feel that way. But you do have to understand that it was never a real movement. And plus, it don't have my stamp. You never heard me say no goofy shit like black men don't cheat. You never heard me say no shit like shade or fucking hot girl summer or hot boy summer and all this shit. As I always say, I'm not too big on slang and all that type of shit anyway. Because when people hear you talk, they know what fucking year that you got these little references and shit from. And you just sound dated and old and shit. Because, yeah, it's cool now, but, you know, if somebody play this shit back, that shit gonna sound old as fuck. They gonna know when you recorded this shit. It's just a little tip for a lot of you little jackasses out there. But, you know, it's all good. I can't give everybody the magic. Some people will catch that, some people won't. But, you know, I fight for the right to do comedic shit. And also, you know, I talk crazy to women. Well, not crazy, but, you know, I joke and shit with women all the time and all that. You know, but I feel comfortable doing that because I know I don't treat women fucked up. So I don't feel any type of way of cracking jokes and shit. Because I know how I treat people. So I don't really give a fuck about so-called backlash and all that type shit. Because, you know, I'm a genuine person. So I know I'm not harboring any real hatred towards anybody. And everybody can catch these jokes. You have to understand where comedy comes from. It either comes, it's typically trauma. Trauma that you have taken in or trauma that you have given out. And that's all it really is. But once again, I mean, this is not me taking up for the so-called movement and all this goofy shit. No, I don't even really fuck with Charlamagne, quite honestly. I don't listen to fucking Brilliant Idiots podcast. That shit is garbage now. I can't fuck with Andrew Schultz. He is racist as fuck. But that's a whole nother episode that, you know, I'm not even about to get into right now. But just know that I don't even really fuck with Charlamagne all that much. I do appreciate him getting on fucking Dapper Dan's ass, though. Pause. Dapper Dan was kind of low-key on some circus shit. He was like half coon, half not. But, you know, it's all good. I caught that, though. Dapper Dan. Chill out. But he was basically trying to take up for Gucci in his Breakfast Club interview. And it was kind of some circus shit. I understand that you beaten down and shit that, you know, you fought over the years against designers and luxury brands and shit trying to sue you. And you just trying to get your money and all that. But at the same time, it's kind of sad that they wore you out and beat you down. I mean, you working for the company that sued you. You made their shit hot. They were making clothes that looked like Dapper Dan's clothes before they even hired Dapper Dan. They were taking all his shit. Now they hired him, did some racist shit. Now he out there trying to protect them and get his fucking brand bigger and all this type of shit. Dapper Dan is like 74 years old, though. You tend to stay looking amazing when you don't stand up for no real shit. You ain't got no type of stress in your life. This motherfucker here. I don't even know where the fuck I'm going with this shit, but, you know, fuck it. But I ain't really fucking with Dapper Dan's statements and shit. I had to say that. And I didn't really detail exactly what was going on, so people probably ain't even fucking with what I'm saying right now. But it's just too much to fucking explain. You would have to see the interview. He was just on some low-key, beaten-down type shit and trying to fucking explain some bullshit from a company that don't give a fuck about black people. And it's just a bunch of nonsense. I'm not trying to hear it. And he tried to put it under the guise that almost all companies are racist and all that type of shit. But yeah, of course, it's possible. But we can only go with what we see. If I see you do some racist shit, I have to disassociate from your brand and your company. I have to go by the facts presented to me. You put out a fucking real statement piece to where I know where you stand. I have to take that serious. And when you know it's some, for instance, let's say it's a rumor that all food has poison in it, but you know certain companies for a fact poison food. You would be a fucking idiot to eat those items from the companies where you know for a fact it's poison in the fucking food. And you have to understand that your mind works the same way. You're taking in poison through fucking videos that are poisonous, through fucking words that are poisonous, through people that are poisonous, through fucking companies that are poisonous. You taking in all this type of shit. All this shit matters. And people so-called so big on this mental health, but you taking in fucking mental garbage. You're eating mental cereal. You're collecting mental trading cards that have no value. Yes, I'm tying this shit all together because, you know, I'm cold like that. I could do that. I'm a fucking professional podcaster at this point. I'm a fucking expert. It is what it is. But yeah, man, you have to understand all that type of shit. This shit is not an accident. And you have to understand that some people make statements and some people make noise. You have to filter out the statements and filter out the noise. But a lot of motherfuckers just listening to straight noise 24/7. You're not getting any mental nutritional value throughout the day. I feel like each day you have to fill your brain with some sort of nutritional value. And a lot of people aren't giving themselves that type of nutrition. I made this analogy to somebody that I work with. I always tie things back to sports. But you look at an athlete. An athlete is playing, let's say, NBA. They're playing the NBA season. After that season is over, what do they have? They have an off season. In this off season, they train and get better. They also look over tapes and all that stuff. They look over their weaknesses and they try to get better. But regular everyday people aren't having any off seasons. They're just stuck in the same season every single day. They're making the same turnovers. They averaging the same amount of points. They're not coming off the bench. All kind of shit going on. So you have to create time and make your own off seasons and reevaluate things and aspire to get better and actually work on getting better. You can't just keep playing the fucking same season thinking you're gonna fucking get better. It's not gonna fucking happen. You need an off season. Where is your off season at? What is your regimen? What type of nutritional value are you taking in? Where are you going with the shit that you're trying to do? But outside of that, man, once again, I had a great time chopping it up with y'all boys and girls. This has been When We Feel Like It Podcast, WWF LIP. And yeah, man, it's fucking shine, man. Go. Thank you for listening.